You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Well, my throat is dry, my lungs are sore, my eyes are watering because we've been surrounded by bushfire smoke for 2 weeks now. Here's hoping for rain in Tasmania sometime soon. So this is the final episode of Cabaret of Monsters, a Creature Court novella. If you haven't bought your own copy of Cabaret of Monsters already, it's available for 99 cents in the Kindle store right now because February is Creature Court month. The Creature Court trilogy launches on February 14th. If you've been enjoying Alfleur and you want to spend a bit more time there, there is a whole big fat fantasy trilogy, which will tell you more about Poet and La Villa and a bunch of characters you didn't even get a chance to meet yet. So it's going to be a while before I serve up an audio version of those books. They're quite large, so get hold of it while you can and have to read it the old-fashioned way for now. Also, launching this month is the third book in my friend Jodie McAllister's brilliant Australian YA trilogy. The first book was Valentine, the second was Ironheart, and the third, which is out this week, is called Misrule. What would you do if the Sealy and the Unsealy waged war against each other in your small town with the boy you hate most as their prize? I've been rereading the books because she sent me the third one and I'm excited I now get to read it. It's really good. It's actually really rare to find good Australian urban fantasy. I say urban, they don't spend a lot of time in cities. It's a very small town adventure. It's so dark. It's very bleak. Like, if you like a lot of my cozy stuff, this might be too dark for you. If you like Cabaret of Monsters and Creature Court level dark, it might still be a little bit too dark for you, but I find it delicious. So I'm actually going to be launching Jodie's new book here in Hobart at Dimmicks on Sunday the 24th. You can RSVP through Eventbrite. Look up her name on Eventbrite and you should be able to find the event and the time. But come along, hear us in conversation. Say hi if you're a listener and you're in Hobart that week. Now, before I continue, I want to give you some news about the next Sheep Might Fly serial, which starts next week. Sorry to say that the final Castle Charming novella, which is coming really soon, but it's not cooked enough yet. I always overestimate how much writing I'm going to get done during the kids' school holidays. Turned out the answer this holidays was very, very little. But we did play a lot of board games. So yeah, they go back to school in 2 days. I will be writing more. In the meantime, I'm going to give myself a bit more time to finish up the Castle Charming book. I have so many threads to tie together. It needs me to pay full attention to it. Anyway, giving myself more time because on the podcast starting next week, I'm going to present to you the fabulous, funny, and recently out of print superhero adventure, Girl Reporter. It was published by the Book Smugglers. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, it's in the same universe as Cookie Cutter Superhero. I forget the title. And Kid Dark Against the Machine. So this is the next adventure in that superhero series. I'm really proud of that book and it's a little bit sad that it's no longer available to buy because Book Smugglers closed up their publishing arm of their operation. So I get to share it with you, which is lovely. I'm going to have so much fun reading it. So that's where we'll be next week. And then after that, the next serial will be Dead Queen Walking, featuring all your Castle Charming favourites. So come back next week for superheroes. And but for now, let's return to Cabaret of Monsters one last time. Chapter 13, Saturnalia, one day after the Ides of Saturnalis. It was Lavilla, of all people, who gathered up a shaky Evie when it was all over, bundled her in a borrowed coat that smelled of expensive perfume, and walked her on unsteady feet back to the boarding house. Poet and the rest of the Creature Court were nowhere to be seen. "Why are you helping me?" Evie managed to ask. Her whole body ached like she'd been beaten. Her head was scraped raw from the inside out, and her throat. Oh, her throat was probably sore because of all the singing she'd done on stage. "Didn't you help me?" said Lavilla lightly. "You stole my part. But you also stole the murderous creature that took over my body. On the whole, I came out ahead." Evie did not think she'd be able to walk without Lavilla's sturdy arm around her waist, which was all kinds of embarrassing. "Is she gone, the Stella?" "For now," said Lavilla. "That's never happened before," she added, in a more subdued voice. The sky is something to fight. It doesn't spy on us, steal our bodies, take an interest in local theatre." "She told me," said Evie, stumbling over her thick tongue. She knows his weakness now." That disturbed Lavilla, though you had to be looking closely to see it, past the thick cosmetic and arch expression. "It doesn't take a body swap to see his weakness," she said. "Anyone could see it from the stars." When they reached the boarding house, it was nearly morning. The last shadows of Nox bleached out of the sky, ready for a new day. Evie wasn't sure she could ever look at the sky without fear again. Not now she knew what lived beyond it. "Keep the coat," said Lavilla, lingering only a moment on the doorstep. "It'll come in useful." Evie put her hands in the large roomy pockets and something crinkled against her hand. She pulled out a clutch of train tickets, 4 in all. "Am I going somewhere?" "Fast as you can," said Lavilla. "The war knows your face now. You can't be here." She began to walk away, flexing her shoulders in the plain black dress she wore, as if she didn't plan to be human for much longer. "Won't Garnet be angry that you helped me?" Evie called after her. Lavilla turned, a strange look of delight and caution on her face. "Better me than someone he fears," she said. "He'll do less damage that way." "You're the reason he's still alive," Evie remembered. "You called for help. Why do you and Poet follow him after everything he's done?" She didn't say the name of the Zandelian man, but Lavilla must know the violence of which her leader was capable. "You can't choose your angels," said Lavilla. This time she did walk away. She raised one hand in a careless farewell. "Stay brilliant, Evie and Glera." "You too," said Evie, watching Lavilla leave. As she let herself into the boarding house, she was faced with two people, a hulking brute of a man and a quick-eyed, twitchy young boy, carrying a large trunk between them. "Do I know you?" she asked. She had seen them, she thought, around the theatre and other places. Weasels and bears, her mind threw at her. Neither spoke. They shuffled around her on the landing and left. Above, there was shrieking, complaining, and the sound of suitcases and clothes being thrown back and forth. A single silk stocking fluttered down from the top floor, finally snagging itself on a crack in the banister. Evie climbed up and up until she was slammed against a wall by Sunshine in a bright silk coat and dark wool hat. "You're back," said Sunshine, and kissed her. Evie allowed herself to be kissed. This, at least, was easy in a morning that had been nothing but questions and complications jammed in around her. "Do you have the tickets?" Sunshine asked, drawing back. "I do," said Evie, pulling the crumpled sheaf out of her pocket. "Are you coming with me?" "Of course," said Sunshine. "I love an adventure." They winced and pointed up to the attic. The sound of Christoph and Ruby Red screeching at each other could still be heard. They're pissed off because himself sent his boys around to break the news and collect his things. Couldn't say it to our faces, the coward. Either way, he's packing us off. Evie looked more closely at the tickets, Orcadia by way of Etulia. She couldn't say she was sorry to be leaving the country, not with a failed hit behind her, and Garnet likely to be after revenge for the attempt she'd made. "He wants all three of you to come with me," she managed to say as she put it all together. "Is Christoph taking up one of those job offers after all?" "Perhaps when he stops shouting he will," said Sunshine with a twist of their mouth. "We're theatricals. We always fall on our feet." Evie wanted to ask more questions. What message had himself given them that convinced them leaving the city was an option? What had he told them about Evie herself? But Sunshine was still looking at her like they were friends, and Evie didn't want to break that any time soon. Besides, they had a lot of packing to do if they were going to be on a train by noon. "An adventure, you say?" said Evie, and Sunshine glowed in response. The Alfleur train station made its usual picture of greys and blacks, of winter coats and tight, tired faces, all wreathed in steam. The party that Evie travelled with were a little different. Sunshine, Christoff and Ruby Red wore brights and silks, like they were about to step onto a stage. Even their luggage was painted in bold shades of teal, forest green and rose pink. Christoph and Ruby Red, once they'd recovered from the shock of being dismissed by himself and the warning that they must leave the city, settled into the idea that all this was their own grand plan. Christoph waved around a letter of offer from a theatre company in Orcadia and benevolently promised to get jobs for his friends. Ruby Red's own ambitions were greater than that. She'd read a magazine article about the growing popularity of cabaret in Nova Stella, the city across the wide sea, where they would surely be looking for top-class Columbines who lived off one meal a day. Zephyr, it turned out, had disgraced himself by ditching Christoph for a handsome olive merchant's son, which was so unthinkable that everyone had to pretend Christoph had never even thought of ordering an extra ticket in the first place. The four of them folded easily into the comfortable carriage, well ahead of schedule. Evie couldn't be easy about this journey until they were on their way, but it was still 10 minutes to noon, the train boarding slowly around them. It was Sunshine who saw him coming. Sunshine, who nudged Evie and kicked Christoff, pointing down across the platform. The stage master poet himself walked out of the swirling steam and smoke, in a dark coat that didn't suit him, like any other passenger. The theatricals and Evie tumbled out of their carriage like a pile of puppies, throwing themselves at him. "Are you coming after all?" asked Ruby Red, in a haughty voice, and looked gutted when Poet shook his head. "I came to say goodbye," he said, and was nearly bowled over by the three of them. "I hate you," said Ruby Red, leaving a smacking kiss of red cosmetic on his cheek. "Thank you for giving me a chance when you did," said Sunshine at his other side. They brushed their cheek briefly against his own and squeezed his hand. Christoph wrapped his arms fully around Poet's neck and clung like he didn't want to let go, not ever. "Should have sent you away years ago, Kip," Poet muttered into his friend's collar. "You're too bright to be contained in one city." "Shut up! You're the worst," said Christoph, and kissed Poet hard on the mouth. "Be the Stella," he said, when they came apart. "For saints' sake, give in to how fucking amazing you are. Be the centre of attention for once. But don't play the angel. You look washed out in white. Stick to that orphan princel routine of yours. The knobs love you in that." "I'll think about it," said Poet with a small smile. "Stay brilliant, all of you." They waved and crowded back onto the train, leaving Evie and Poet together. "How can you trust me to look after them?" she blurted out. "I'm not a theatrical." "You know what I am." "A monster?" suggested Poet slyly. "Takes one to know one." "I would have thought you'd want me far away from them." Who else is going to protect them? Said Poet, his eyes looking sad and far away behind his spectacles. I shouldn't have let myself keep them for so long, pretending to be normal, daylight. When you keep something for yourself, it's a weapon that can be turned against you. I can't afford that. Not now. Evie wondered if it was the sky Poet was worried about, or Garnet. You love your theatre, she reminded him. I know, I may have to give that up too, but not yet. So what will you do? She couldn't talk about the war, the sky, the dangers she'd only ever read about in fairy tales. It didn't feel real. I'm going to track down those talented children, put my understudies to work, swap out some of the scripts, bring in a cabaret of monsters. Life is a matinee, my dearling. There's always another show around the corner. I mean, what are you going to do about... And she glanced up. Up at the pale blue-grey sky over the city. Oh, that, said Poet. Well, I have a few ideas about that. Don't write me out of the story yet. Evie got back into the carriage, squashing up against Sunshine, who had stolen her window seat. Himself stood very still on the platform. As the smoke thickened and the train screamed its departure, with one long cry of a whistle, two more figures stepped onto the platform, flanking him. Evie ducked her head down so she wouldn't be seen, as Garnet, on one side of Poet, took his arm. On the other side of him, Lavilla leaned a head on his shoulder. That dam will be the death of him, Christoph said bitterly. Not the dam, said Sunshine. The bloke, maybe. Evie slipped her hand into Sunshine's and waited for the train to pull out. She half expected the deadly shape of a Gattopardo to break through the window and tear her to shreds in the last moments before they set off, and she didn't drop the thought until the train had passed through three stations. Even then, she didn't stop holding Sunshine's hand. What are you going to do now, Inglira? Ruby Red challenged her. While we're painting Orcadia's theatre scene scarlet and showing the world how brilliant we are. Oh, said Evie. She hadn't been paid for her last job in full, and she wouldn't be now. The newspaper office back home would be angry she'd left Alfleur without notice, and she couldn't exactly tell them she was doing it to escape an invisible war that was going to get worse before it got better. I guess I better do some writing. I get paid by the word, you know. Christoph, who still looked somewhat tragic about the day's events, gave her a shaky smile. Did you have any particular words in mind? I'm a storyteller, said Evie. I'll think of something. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.